stay tuned for The Lynn Show. This week, for the second week in a row, I am dedicating this show to the celebration of the creation of the West Coast Black Theater Troupe. They're celebrating their 10th anniversary, and in this show, I'm playing the second half of my interview with Nate Jacobs and an interview with Leon Pitts, an adorable, sparkling young man who's been working with Nate since he was 9 years old, and who, well, you'll hear it. Hang on. Here comes the show. Welcome to The Lynn Show. The Lynn Show is all about becoming who you really are. I dedicate this show to the discovery of who we are and then becoming it, because it is clear to me from my more than 30 years as a practicing psychotherapist that almost none of us are really who we really are. We learned early on in our lives who it was we had to be, or who our family thought we were, and then we did that. We created what I call a cover story. And then any quality that we had, which didn't seem to fit the picture, went undercover. And so here we are, all of us, acting out a cover story, when qualities, abilities, skills, energy, talents are waiting below, undercover. Now, usually I spend the first half of the show talking about how that happens to us and what we can do about it. And then I usually do an interview with a person who makes their living or their life with their art. But today, as I said in the front of the show, and as I did last week, I'm spending this entire show dedicating it to the 10th anniversary of the West Coast Black Theater Troupe. The West Coast Black Theater Troupe is shepherded, created, founded, manufactured, pushed and pulled by the remarkable Nate Jacobs. And if you were listening last time, you heard the story of a man who stubbornly refused to know who he really was. Thinking of himself as a fine artist, studying, getting a degree in college as a fine artist, Nate scrupulously, from the time he was quite little, discounted any statement made by teachers, relatives, friends, colleagues, anybody who said, "God, Nate, you've got an amazing voice, and you have a terrific acting talent, and you're a great storyteller," and up to and including the head of the department, of the drama department in his undergraduate work, said to him, "You know, you made a mistake. You should have majored in drama." But never mind, he cruised on out of college and got a job working as an art teacher in a school in Sarasota. And if you were listening last time, you heard the story of how he created these little plays for the kids just because he thought it was fun and they seemed to enjoy it. And what people would say to him, "Gee, you're awfully good at this. Gee, what a talent. And gee, have you thought of..." And like that, he would say to himself and to me in that interview, "You know, I just thought they were being nice." But the universe had other ideas for Nate and kept right on showing him, demonstrating for him, putting people in his path who said, "Goodness, why aren't you doing this? When are you going to do this? How come you're not doing this?" Until even he was forced to consider the possibility that he was someone that he did not necessarily recognize. And slowly, and he wasn't all that young when he finally succumbed, he began to experiment with being an actor, with being a singer, and discovered that, sure enough, people responded. He worked, which is no small thing. Any of you who are in the theater or who know people in the theater, you know it's not necessarily a slam dunk that just because you put yourself out there that you're going to work. But Nate did work. And slowly, he became aware that in this community of Sarasota, Florida, he was one of the very few black faces, not only up there on the stage, but in the audience. And in today's interview, you will hear how that recognition finally came startlingly home to him. And he accepted really who he really is and came into his own, powerfully into his own. And that his coming into his own not only helped him to be who he is, but helped dozens and dozens of youngsters to discover who they are. And later in the show, I'm going to play an interview with one of those youngsters who started working with Nate when he was 9 and who had no idea that he could sing or dance or act or that that was a possibility for him. But you'll hear him say that after the first show, it was lights, camera, action. And, well, so first, my interview with Nate, and then, the second half of my interview with Nate, it's going to start in the middle. And then my interview with Leon Pitts. And maybe before I do these, I should remember to say, this is The Lynn Show. And if you want more information about me, the work I do, if you want to hear some of the past shows, even the beginning of Nate's interview that was last week, you can go up on my website, thelynnshow.com. That's THELYNNE. Don't leave the E out. SHOW, thelynnshow.com. You can click on podcasts and hear the shows from the past. You can click on email me and write to me. If for some reason you don't get the information about the gala, you can always get it from me. Go up on my website, click on email me, and ask me about it. But now, here, the second part of my interview with an extraordinary man, Nate Jacobs.
So I go back to the Oslo. The players' thing is done.
Right.
I go to Oslo. I call Howard Millman. I need to meet with you. I go and I tell him this whole thing about the Oslo does not have a welcome mat at its door for the whole community, Howard. I said, and I know that's not what the theater is known for. I said, but I feel since you are a community organization and you are state funded, there should be some project, some play, some event that you do once a year or twice a year that the whole community feels that it's theirs. That black community walk in these doors and feel like this is ours too.
Well, and it doesn't hurt the Oslo to have a whole new audience.
And have a whole new, okay.
Yeah, no, I mean, that's win-win.
That's what the players began
right,
to have.
I'm sure.
So, he said this to me, you're right. So we tried to start a summer project with doing a small musical, black musical, and that didn't work out. They didn't want to fund it because they said, really, that's the downtime of the theater and everybody goes on break. That means bringing people on staff.
Right, and they got all these expenses.
Right.
Right.
So that we pondered that for a while, but we had to bag that. And I was really disappointed because I was kind of excited because they had talked as if it was really going to happen. Next thing I get a call from Howard, he called me in and said, I want to invite you to be a member of my company. He said, Nate, you're extremely talented. You know, I've always been very supportive of you. I want you a part of this company. It's very seldom we offer this to local people. He said, but I want you to be a part. You being a part of my company will keep me conscious that I do need to think artistically about broadening. So I came on board. I did 1 year as an actor. By the time that year came to a year came to a head, I was sitting backstage and I could not run from it anymore. I was an actor in this show. It was closing night. And I was sitting watching the monitor. I had these little bit parts. I go in and take water, come off. I come in and say, yes, sir. No, sir. And I off. And I said, why I have to sit back here all night? It's a two-hour show, two and a half hour. That was a two-hour, half-hour play. I said, I'm back here for 2 hours. I'm on stage for maybe 10 minutes of the whole show.
Yeah.
I said, it just don't seem like it's really fair. And this whole thing spoke in me and said, you start a company. That's the only way. This vision, this thing that keeps coming to you, it's you.
It's yours.
It's you. Yeah. And it's a platform.
Say yes, for God's sake.
Yeah.
Right.
Exactly. When that show ended,
yeah,
it was like Moses coming from the mount, from the burning bush.
Uh-huh.
It was like that. Howard Millman met me, thanking me for my work that season, and he said to me, we can't wait to have you back next season. I got some wonderful roles for you that I'm... And I said, Howard, I won't be back. Why? He said, what? What did we do? What's wrong? I said, I love you. I love the Oslo. I love the actors I'm working with. And they were the most wonderful people you could work with. I love them to this day. We're still very close, very, very good friends. I said, but I have to go and start a platform for people who look like me. I said, I said that I have to do that. He looked at me. He said, you're serious? Because I had them. It was on me. I said, yes, I'm serious. He said, well, you got to do it, Nate. He said, I can see it in your eyes. He said, whatever I can do to support you, he said, you call me. I packed up my little theater bag. I got in my car, and I drove out of that parking lot, and I said to myself, how are you going to start a theater company? I kid you not. The next day, my phone rings. It's Dr. Porter, my mentor. I need to see you. Can you come to my office right now? So I go to his office, I sit in, and this very seldom happened when he's staying, he's doing something, he tells me, blah, 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 and I'm on my way. This time, he sits behind his executive desk, he said, you sit over there. I sit on the other side of the desk. I'm thinking, about, what have I done?
Right,
what
right.
is this all about? He looks at me, he said, what are you waiting on?
Oh my God.
There was no more words to be said. I, like you, almost just burst into tears. I said then, I was just totally, my whole spirit and soul just came to one. And I just sat there and looked at him. He looked at me, and there was no more words to be said. He said, get up out of that chair. He said, you go talk to my friend, Attorney Kimbrough. Tell him what's in your heart. Just speak your heart out. Let him tell you what the organization is. He said, and you go do what you're supposed to do, Nate. He said,
oh,
and he said, you come back and you tell me how it went. I got up out the chair like a zombie, and I walked out of the thing. I went straight to the lawyer's office, mm-hmm. and I sat in there and I told him. And he said, one part of your vision is a nonprofit, the training, mentoring part. He said, the other is a for-profit, the touring, when you build to where you tour. He said, and I'm going to do two incorporations for you. I did my incorporation. I got that. I said, I have no money.
Right.
He said, don't worry about the money. I'm going to sponsor this amount. And he said, I'll put a payment program together. And he did until I paid it off.
Jesus.
And after I got that done, somebody told me I needed the tax exemption. I had been talking to Patricia Caswell, the Arts Council, for years. When I went in her meeting, I walked in the room. She said, you don't have to tell me anything about what you want to do. She said, I'm well aware. How can I help you?
Oh, my God.
I said, I don't have any money. I need a tax exempt. She said, well, Nate, how much is it? I said, it's $500. She said, if you come up with two, we'll do three. And I walked away. One of these ladies, the lady who had come to my first show, Lynn, Amen Corner, I get this card in the mail. This card came in the mail. I didn't even read it. One day I was home and I opened the card and the lady said, last night in your play of Amen Corner, I had the most exhilarating theater experience I've ever had in my life. She said, you really don't know the gift that you are. She said, please keep bringing us this fine theater. This woman is who I ran into when I left her meeting. On the sidewalk. I said, hi, how you doing? I said, how you doing? She said, well, what are you doing? I said, well, I'm trying to start a theater company.
$200.
She said, well, what do you need? I said, $200. She said, you got $100. She stands on the sidewalk, writes me a $100 check. Other $100 came from me. It was like the end of the week. I went back to Patricia with the $200, and she sat in her office. We filled out the form, and the Arts Council sent it in with the other $300. I got my 501c3. I get these papers back. Now, this is now the vision now.
Right.
I get the papers back, and I don't know when I even told this lady I was starting a company, but it's a black retired woman, Rosalind Ellerby. Theater Works, they used to be down where Gumpers is.
Yeah, I know.
They doing a fundraiser, raising money. Send this woman a letter asking her for $1,000. The lady said, well, I only give $1,000 if you give Nate Jacobs a space to debut his new theater company. I don't even know this conversation has happened. So I get, as soon as I get this tax exempt paper in the mail, I kid you not, I get this call. Guy said, well, hello, I'm the board president of Theater Works, and
I want to have a meeting.
So I go in the meeting. He said, well, this one lady said she'd give us $1,000 if we would give you a spot to debut your company. I was like, how do you know I'm doing a company? I said, I haven't told anybody. He said, well, you told this one lady. He said, because she said you're starting a company. I said, yeah, but I don't have anything. I have paper. And he said, well, we want to give you dark nights, Sunday nights and Monday nights, right, to do whatever you want to do. So in the meeting, I said, okay, I'll do it. I sat in the meeting, and I take a music director friend with me, who had been doing some things with me. His name is LaTerry Butler. And I tell this man, okay, what I'm going to do, I'm going to come in and do a small musical. And so when I leave out of the meeting, this guy said, are you crazy? Why didn't you tell those people you coming in with a show? He said, Nate, you have no money, you have no people, you don't have no actors. I said, I know. We'll make it happen.
Never mind. Right.
I was on a trip to New York, and I went over to the Schoenbaum Library when I got there, and I did some study on the Cotton Club. That came to my mind.
Mm-hmm.
I got historical information. I came back, and I said, I called the music director when I got back to Sarasota. I said, I'm going to do a cabaret about the Cotton Club. I said, we're going to do historical facts, and I said, we'll do music. He said, well, I have some wonderful music that I have never been saying in many cases, but it's from that whole era of the Cotton Club. We start working together, and we put together Cotton Club Cabaret. I called the theater, and I said, well, okay, I'm going to do Cotton Club Cabaret. We debuted this show. The guy tells me, he said, well, don't be upset, Nate. He said, this is like a black theater in Sarasota. He said, we don't know what's going to happen. We don't know if you'll get anybody to show up. He said, if you got 10, 15 people, he said, at least it's a beginning. We opened the show and it sells out. So the guy said, well, I thought you said you had no money. I said, I don't. He said, well, how did you market the show? I said, I didn't. He said, well, how many people? I said, I don't know. And I didn't. One of my friends, after we ran for a little while, I was talking one day. She said, you don't know who you are, do you?
Yeah.
She said, Nate, people know you. You have a following in this town. She said, you're good, you're talented, and anything that your name attached to, this community is going to support.
And this community is hungry for it.
Exactly. And that's what this whole vision
that's right.
identified.
It was waiting for somebody.
Yes.
It was waiting for you.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Not only did it identify that for me, it identified it to the whole
community. That's what I mean.
Community. Yes. Mm-hmm. So we begin to sell out and sell out and sell out. We're only doing it on Monday, Sunday, Monday nights, every weekend, Sunday, Monday. The people came to me and said, you want to extend it another 3 weeks? I said, yeah. Okay. You want to extend another 3 weeks? Yeah. You want to extend it like another 3 weeks? We kept running and running and running and running, running. So they came to me. One of the assistant directors said they had a show up at the theater company had a show up that wasn't selling. I came to the theater one night. He said, come here. He said, I had a meeting with my staff, and I said, they should close that show, give you the dates. He said, Nate, you got a sold-out hit. Mm-hmm. He said, but they didn't want to do it because of the pride, and they just didn't want to give it up. I said, okay. We kept going. Well, after that, I was invited back. The man, the guy came and said, this is working so well. Would you like to do a series of shows? I gave him no money. I said, yeah. Well, we pulled off Yubi, the musical. Mm-hmm. We did A Raisin in the Sun again, and we did Cotton Club Cabaret 2, this time with a set and costume. Because what I did the first time, I went in a theater department, costume department, and I said, anything you can give me. And then he said, what do you got? I said, girls, they got these black skirts that kind of like torn them on. I got, they were tattered and torn. I had this lady kind of fix them up a little bit. These tops that were used, and they were tattered and torn. We got them pasted up a bit. I had two tuxedos for me and the other guy. And for the set, they had a show running. I went out to the fabric store because the Cotton Club had the decor of the of Africa. And I got this Africa print cloth, and I draped over the wall of the set. They were able to clear most of the stuff, and we brought out two round top tables and some chairs. That was our Cotton Club. Second time we had a set. We had costumes. We did Cotton Club Parade 2. I have never looked back from that first debut, and I thought I would have to sell this to the community. They were already sold. Like you said, they were sitting
they were
and
waiting. Yeah, that's right.
And West Coast Black Theater Troupe has been rising and growing ever since. We still have our extreme challenges of funding and a home, a theater home where we could really put our roots
down. Yeah, you guys have been
bouncing
around.
Yes. What that does, it affects growth of your audience because
we have... They don't know where you are.
Exactly.
I know.
And we have people who love our stuff, but, you know, the kind of clientele we have here is not going to follow you just anywhere.
No, and you don't have the budget for, you know,
marketing.
Sending out... Yeah, right. So,
and,
you know, we've moved.
Taking that whole new audience and
move
making sure they know where we are.
Right.
So, we are doing some real strong efforts
good,
right now.
Right now, what you should be telling me is, what's up? What are you going to... Is there a project in the works? And where will it be?
Right now, there's a building right on the corner here. One of the buildings we're looking at. We have done some study, have talked with a contractor, have talked with the owner about turning this building right on the corner. It used to be Pedro Ironworks, sit right on the corner of 10th and Central, turning that building into a 200-seat theater space.
Mm.
Up the street there on Boulevard of the Arts, which is also 6th Street and Central, they have a, what do you call this, a marker, a City of Sarasota marker that says, this is the first black community of Sarasota right here. There's a couple who owns a plot of land that sits right next to that marker who called me, and I went into this meeting. They're sitting around this table crying, the wife saying, there's chills all over me because I know you're supposed to build a theater here. We tried to do several things here. None of it worked out, and a friend of mine opened a magazine, and there was a full-page article about you and your company, and my friend said to me, the reason why your stuff hasn't worked out is because this man needs a theater, and it belongs next to that marker in the city.
Wow.
And...
Yeah, sure. All you need is money.
Exactly.
Yeah.
They want
a
couple of million and all that.
I'm sure.
Well, the couple tried to recently sell it. The wife just called me back and said it didn't sell. She said, but I'm glad to hear from you, because I had emailed her, so what's up with the land? She said, well, we got somebody actually going by. We'll let you know. She said it didn't sell. But in that meeting, everybody said around, you know, I went into the meeting just to go in and say, yes, we need a home. Home, we need a home. And I went in, and they were telling me, you need a home. And, you know, the only thing, we just got to get them to donate that land. But those are two prospects that we are looking at, the most serious prospects right now. That would be a building from the ground up.
Right.
Whole,
oh, that.
Yes.
Yeah. But that one. The other thing that means is that you're, you know, a year away from being able to do anything in it.
Yeah, exactly.
Right, so you'd need something in the interim anyway.
And even if we were going to do that theater, that would be like a second house for us. We would do maybe a cabaret house for that and then do main stage stuff.
So do you have a production that's in the works at all now?
There's nothing up now. We're just getting ready to go into rehearsals for the first show of the season, Sisters in the Name of Soul. Our theme this season, 2008-2009, is A Soulful Serenade.
Ooh.
WBTT presents A Soulful Serenade. And we're celebrating the artistry of the 70s artists and soul music.
Mm.
So the first show, Sisters in the Name of Soul, deals with Aretha Franklin, Gladys Knight, Diana Ross, Supremes. A lot of other people. Dionne Warwick and different people like that. We just touch base on some of the pop, but we really concentrate on the soul singers. The next show, this show, Sisters in the Name of Soul, opens in January. In March, we open The Crooners, which is the Temptations, which are Temptations, the Jackson 5, the Marvin Gaye, all of that wonderful stuff, El Green. The final show of the season in April is the Dynamic Duets of the 70s. And what we're going to do, they're going to be a multicultural piece. We're going to do Captain and Tennille and Karen Carpenter and, you know, other Peaches
and Cher.
Sonny and Cher. You know, all those
That'll
duets
be great.
That everybody loved back then.
Yeah.
So that's our season, Soulful Serenade, coming up. And we're going to be at the Sudikoff Center. That's right on the campus of New College.
It's a great space.
Yeah, and it's a space that the community knows.
Right.
So it's not
you've been there before.
Right.
Right.
The last 2 years we were at the historic Oslo. This is right across the across 41.
Right.
Literally, where the theater sits.
Okay, so before we move on from this, I just say how someone can get in touch with you to find out what's going on.
Yeah, for anyone who wants to know details about our upcoming season or anything that WBTT is doing, our office number is 941-366-1505.
Okay. Is there a website?
There is a website in the works that will be up in the next few weeks, in about 3 weeks. That will be WBTTtheater.com. Or email us at WBTT@hotmail.com. Email their addresses there and we can send them out brochure information. We're very excited. You know, in America, when things are a little topsy-turvy, we want people to come to our 70s party season and forget.
And enjoy it, right.
And go back to a time, back to a time when things were different. And music was therapeutic, you know.
Yeah, and can be again.
And can be again, yes.
Yeah.
So we are excited about the season.
This is just a wonderful, wonderful story. And this is the kind of thing that I'm drawn to. It is my idea, it seems silly to say, but that people are called to this.
I agree.
I hear versions of this story a lot, you know, that it made itself happen.
Mm-hmm. I would say that all the time to people the first few years, I said it's like I'm standing on the outside looking at the vision unfold itself to me.
Yes.
It's the most amazing thing. Mm-hmm. Other people see me and they go, oh, you're moving all the time, you're working all the time, oh God, how do you do all you do? They see my work.
Yeah.
They see my physical work and my spiritual work, my emotional work that's put into it. But I don't see it like that.
No.
That's natural to me, the work. The working of it. It's just stuff that needs to be done, that has to be done, that's vital to the vision growing, and that's
to
natural.
To feed the vision.
Yeah, it's very natural. Just like a mother feeding the newborn.
Right, exactly. That doesn't seem like a stretch or difficult. It's just what needs to be done.
Exactly.
I got it.
Exactly.
Yeah.
I get that a whole lot about, you are amazing. I mean, you always, and I'm going like, well, yeah, because I have to.
Yes.
Until the vision builds to a point where I have people who do that for me.
Yes.
And anybody who really is serious about donating or funding the theater company.
Please get in touch.
Yeah. And they should call a different number, actually, my private line, which is 941-780-2198. Yeah, it's an amazing journey. To be called to something or something calling you is more like it.
That's what it sounds like. This called you. And really, I know you know this. This is an extraordinary thing. I mean, this is cutting edge stuff. This is making something that wasn't there. happen. This is really, this is not just another theater company.
Right, because really most of the theater companies in town, that they actually have, what can I say, compared us to.
Right.
Or respect us almost as much as they respect them, are, what, 30 years of old or more?
Right.
Most of them more.
Right.
And here we are in our very short 10 years. I remember there was an article that came out a year ago, and they said, we are so excited about Sarasota's four professional companies. And they said the Oslo, Florida Studio, West Coast Black Theater Troupe, and the Golden Apple, I believe.
Wow.
And I read this article, and I was like, the board was like, well, we don't know if we can, because these are equity. And I said, I have never gone out to be more than what we are. I said, but people come into the theater, and they see our work, and the work speaks for itself.
Speaks for itself. And I want to say this again, and I think I said it, and I didn't say it well enough. You changed the community.
Well, thank you.
No, there's just no question about it. And the that's different. It's bigger than the theater company. Do you understand what
I
mean?
Yeah, I see that, yeah.
I mean, I know that it's a theater company, you know, and it's a wonderful theater company, and you bring wonderful theater, but you do something else also.
And the thing that I want to do, not only with bringing, having our own home, what I want to do with that space is really bring more rich cultural things, even from the Caribbean, from Africa, and
really
American,
right,
you know,
right,
theater as well. But the other thing I want to do is open up a school, a program to give these kids opportunity. Because I call our theater company the Stage of Discovery, because that's Nate Jacobs' story.
Mm-hmm.
As I told you earlier in the conversation, I discovered who I was.
Right.
My family discovered who I was through the theater.
Right.
And I came out of that mental introverted stage when I found the arts and found my place. And I really, you're talking about somebody who felt like the most misfit. First of all, you're in a family with all of these brothers, and you have, you know, scholars, and the attention is given to the smartest ones. And I'm the help meet to my mom with my siblings, but that seemed like my own significance, and I'm feeling in the middle of that whole, where I was born, period.
Right.
And I'm also very quiet and inward. And you're talking about somebody walking around feeling like the most misfit. I mean, I would be around and everybody, you part of this family?
Yeah.
You one of these brothers?
Yeah.
You don't have to say anything.
And then it turns out you're the star.
Yes. And my brothers, and you. The funny thing is this, I remember one of my baby brothers, they hadn't seen me for years perform. And I come home and I'm home.
Yeah, right, right.
But I was up singing. And you know, in my mind, I'm thinking, they know.
Yeah, right.
But this was the first time my baby brother, he has a twin, saw me perform. And I remember I was on stage and I could see a vague image of him. And I opened my mouth and his mouth went, and I thought in my mind, why he keep looking at me like that?
Like that, right. Doesn't he know?
But the first thing he said when I went on stage, Nay! Where did you start singing that? I said, oh, you don't know, do you? But yeah, it was the most amazing thing for them. My mom and everybody, they were just like totally taken.
It was like they had this unknown thing in their midst, you know, and they had to discover it outside. That is so amazing.
Yeah. So just look at it from their perspective, I could see how amazing it was.
I'm having a wonderful time, and I'm sorry because I'm going to have to stop.
Yeah.
But is there anything, just any last thing that you would like to say about your work, about theater, about life?
Well, theater to me is life.
Yes.
I feel that especially our communities, but you can look at the whole state of Florida when it comes to lack of diversity in the cultural community, and it's evident everywhere you go. I think it's essential. I think theater broadens a person's life, and I feel that it is a vital part of their whole development.
Yes.
And I think that's what our young generation is missing. White and black, because a lot of young kids won't go to the live theater either.
Right.
But what I feel that part of West Coast Black Theater Troupe's mission is to reach to the underserved. A lot of these kids who are just standing out on the corner who don't know they can sing, and when they find out they can sing, that's value.
Yeah.
I can sing. So that means I don't have to stand out here in the hot sun and hold up the building all day. I can find Nate Jacobs' studio so I can sing because he puts me in front of people. So it begins to build that self-confidence and give them a whole nother self-picture, which is my story, and I know that story.
Yeah. And you know, I'm thinking while you're talking that it isn't even necessary for them to do that for a livelihood or a career. It just makes them, it adds to their sense, to their self-esteem, to their sense, to their identity, and makes them feel like someone, which was what you were saying before, something special about them.
Right.
They take that wherever they go.
Right.
That's an amazing gift to give a kid.
Right. So it's been an amazing journey. It still is. And
yeah.
We're still growing. We're still growing legs. We're still finding our place.
Yeah, well, your place is clearly here.
Well, I do feel that.
Yeah, there's no question about it.
It was either New York or this, and this won over.
Well, Sarasota is lucky that this is where you wound up.
Well, thank you.
I'm absolutely convinced of it. Thank you so much.
Thank you
for all of this time. It's an amazing story.
I appreciate you including me into your world and listening to my story. I appreciate that.
It's a real gift. Thank you.
Okay, so it's an amazing story, isn't it? The story of a man who first denied and then began slowly to accept who he really was, what he could really do, what he had to offer. And after many years of denying it and thinking that people were just being nice, he came to accept it, and not only accept it, but then manifest it. And in the process, accept not only who he really is, but help dozens of others to find and accept and demonstrate who they really are. And if you were listening last week, you heard the interview with Zadok Porter, 27-year-old daughter of Cynthia and Dr. Porter, who ran the school that Nate began in and from which he called his troupe, having worked with them from when they were children. Zadok from the time she was 5, and Leon, who is my next interview, from the time he was 9. And as I said, he was able not only to discover and demonstrate his own essentialness, but help dozens of these children to discover and demonstrate theirs. I'm going to play another song from a show that they did called On This Island, and this particular song is called Timun. It's about the child who was rescued from the tree. I played the song last week called One Small Girl, and it features Nate as Tantan, the father, and Zadok, who I interviewed last week, as Mama. And Timun is about to fly the coop, and Tantan and Mama are experiencing what all parents do, their version of Empty Nest. It's a beautiful song. And following the song, I'm going to play the interview with Leon. So here, Timun.
Tantan, he needs me. Without me, he'll die. He will not want you, Timun. Please, Mama. Please, Tantan. Give me your blessing and let me go. I will go to him. What can I say to stop you now? Now that you've heard your drums and seen your dancers, now that you think your heart has all the answers, who knows how high those mountains climb? Who knows how deep those rivers flow? Who knows how wrong a dream can go?
be there to guide your way.
To braid your hair or dry your tears, as we have done these many years. Timoon, Timoon,
what you are we made you, what we gave you took. Now you run without one backward look.
You'll find some other boy to save, some other life that you can share. Your heart is young, new dreams are everywhere.
I'm sitting here in the West Coast office with Leon Pitts, whom I've never met.
Yes.
But I have seen work, because I have seen lots of the performances of the troupe.
Yes.
So the troupe is celebrating its 10th anniversary.
Yes, that's correct.
Yes, yes, yes. How long have you been with them?
I've been with them since the beginning.
Yeah.
Actually, I started before I worked with Mr. Jacobs from a young child, before he even was going to start his company, not knowing that those that he was going to start a start his company with, he was working with them since they were kids.
Yeah.
There was quite a few of us.
How old were you?
I was, when I first started working with Mr. Jacobs, he was teaching at the school. I was 9 years old.
Oh, my God.
Yes.
So did you always know that this was what you wanted to do?
No, I actually did not always know what I wanted to do. When I was in high school, I would always do the plays, you know, because it was fun to do. I knew I enjoyed doing it. But I was actually doing... I graduated from high school, and Mr. Jacobs asked me, he said, Leon, what are you doing? What are you doing with yourself? And he would always ask someone that, you know, what are you doing with yourself? I wanted to know how we're taking care of ourselves, our lives. And I said, well, I'm in school right now. He said, do you know what you want to do? I said, no, sir. He said, come try out for this play. So I came and tried out for it. Next thing you know, it was lights, camera, action from there.
So you're saying that you knew that this was what you wanted to do, or that it took over, or?
Actually, I knew I wanted to dance because I discovered I could dance from Mr. Jacobs, actually, when I was doing a show. We would put on shows for Black History Month with him, and we would do like skits for different schools, go perform for the different schools, and we're doing African dances, and He's like, Leon, you have a talent. You really should check into that. And, you know, I kind of blew it off until we got to actually he started his company and he had me come perform with him. And I learned right at the Gumpers, I learned how to soft shoe dance.
You know,
where it started from.
You know, what's funny to me about this is I did a very long interview with Mr. Jacobs about several months ago.
Mm-hmm.
And he tells a very similar story about how he did not see his own talent. And people kept saying to him, but Nate, you can do this. You can do this.
Mm-hmm.
So it sounds like he turned around and did
yes.
that for you.
He's done it for a lot of people. This company is more than just an acting company. He actually takes people, some people who don't even have talent, or some people who don't even know that they have that talent.
Mm-hmm.
And he nurtures that gift. And like, from him nurturing my gift, I was able to go out and start performing other places.
Really?
Yes, I did. From a play that we did here, Five Guys Nemo.
Uh-huh. I saw it.
Yes. He taught me this stuff in that show. And from that show, I've got called, just from that show alone,
mm-hmm.
I've got called like in five different states to do that show.
My gosh.
Including here in Florida. In Florida, that was the longest run. It ran for like 3 months down in Coral Springs.
So have you traveled with it? Is that what you're saying?
Yes.
You've traveled with it?
Yes, Arizona. I've done it in Arizona and in two places in Arizona. And in Coral Springs and other places here in Florida.
So this is a life you weren't expecting?
No, I was not expecting to ever do this. In a way, I was shy. I was very shy. And in the play, Yubi, Mr. Jacobs told me to try out. I tried out for the show. And, of course, he selected me to be in the show. And I did not know that he was going to put me out in front of everybody with a solo. And then not only with a solo, he put me out there to dance in front of all these people. And I was like, oh, my gosh, I can't do this. And Mr. Jacobs was like, Leon, hush, Leon.
I can hear it.
You don't know what you can do.
Yeah.
I see you. I see what you could be. I see what, and like when you listen to him, it's like you can't say no. You can't say no. I can do this because this person believes in you so much, and you actually find out that you really can do this.
My God, this is pretty spectacular.
Oh yes, he's a great guy, and that's why I think that, you know, a lot of people, they see our company, but they don't know that it actually helps youth.
Yes.
It helps youth find them something to do, keeps them off the streets, and I think that. People should put something behind it. The city should get behind it. The world should know about it because it helps our youth instead of them out there killing each other. They're putting it into active things.
Yes. And like, it increases the self-esteem.
Very much. I have no problem getting out in front of people now. I really don't. I really don't have any problem. I'm very outgoing.
Mm-hmm.
I love the things I do. It's never a time that he can ask me to come help that I won't help. Because it's given so much to me.
Now, you know, performing, acting, singing, dancing, these are hard ways to make a living in our world. So do you have other ideas about what you want to do, or are you hoping that this will turn into a career for you?
Well, right now...
How old are you?
I am 28.
Oh, my goodness.
Yes. I started out with this when I was, oh, my gosh. This thing just swooped me up when I was 18. He snatched me up to do this.
Well, 10 years.
Yes.
Is that right?
And the thing is, I don't want to do nothing else.
No.
It's a passion. It's not about the money. It's not about the fame. It's not about that. It's a passion. It's something it's like something I can't live without.
Because yeah.
I actually stopped trying to do it for 1 year.
Mm-hmm.
And, oh my gosh, I was like devastated. I would hear about the shows they're doing. I'm like, oh my gosh, you could feel because we became a family.
Yeah.
It became a family, and a lot of people that we didn't know joined the group, and they became part of the family. It's like so, you feel they're doing this show. It's like, oh my gosh, it's going on without me. I'm missing it. And it's like I was empty.
Yeah.
And right then I knew I was like, yeah,
this is it.
This is really what I want to do.
Right.
I'm not satisfied with anything else.
Yeah.
I'm married to it.
I really understand this, and I hear this over and over again. I interview people for my show who make their living or their life, because you can't always do the other, with their art, and they all say the same thing. You know, it's it's a life's work. It's not just, it's not an activity, it's not a vocation. It's a, it's part of you.
I mean, if you ever get the joy of seeing, like, when we did Yubi, and then we brought in a director, Reggie Kelly, and Mr. Jacob's friend, and we did Ain't Misbehaving.
Mm-hmm.
Oh my gosh. If you know the joys of hearing that kind of music and actually studying that stuff, you have to study it to go back into that day to actually make the people feel like how they felt in that day when they first heard the song, mm-hmm. when they first turned on the radio and they were little kids.
Yes.
And to see those people kind of shake your hand and say, I remember when that song came out.
Oh,
you
my
make
God.
Me feel like it makes you, it brings tears.
Making me cry.
Yeah, it's an unexplainable gratitude. That's better than receiving $1 million. I mean, we all can use $1 million.
Yeah, no kidding.
But that's better. It lasts a lifetime. Those dollars, it'll go away every day. But that experience, that thing, that's something they could take with them for the rest of their life. And you help that. You help them to feel young again. You help their life to rejuvenate. Those people walk out of there smiling. And that was another experience that made me, you know, that I really want to do this.
You have something to give.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I have a place in this world.
Yes.
And that's exactly what Mr. Jacobs helped me to find out, my place in this world.
Yeah.
You know, he doesn't force it on you. He doesn't beat you on the head. You know, it's not that. He helps you to find your place. And if that's not your place in it, it's just something for you to do until you find out what you want to do in this world. Like I said, it's a thing to keep kids off the streets and stuff like that. But it's also a professional surrounding. You know, we bring in other professional actors, mm-hmm. you know, and mind you, I never went to school for acting. But I've been hired, and the things that he's taught me.
You are an actor.
Yes. Naturally and purely. It, mm-hmm. It's in me. It's not a taught thing.
Yeah.
And the things that Mr. Jacobs teach you is straight from the heart. Like, if he doesn't feel you coming from your heart, he stops you and he helps you to see it coming from your heart. Because it was one time I was delivering this song for Five Guys Named Moe. I've never experienced that in my life. It was Don't Let the Sun Catch You Crying. And the words and all of it never related to me at all. It just didn't click to me.
Mm-hmm.
I was just singing without feeling,
mm-hmm.
without any notion. And Ms. Jacobs began to explain that song to me in great depth. And I was like, oh my gosh. This is what this song means. It took on a whole nother meaning to me. I sung it a totally different way.
Yeah.
Because, you know, a young singer, you know, you do what you want to do with it. And sometimes it's without feeling. And those experienced people who are well polished, like Mr. Jacobs, he helped to polish that. And I was able to deliver that song. And that was one of the songs from Five Guys Named Moe that people loved more than anything I thought that they would love.
Yeah.
Like, I did Choo Choo Chaboogie. And... I thought they would love that more than that, but they more so related with that with me, and I was...
Because they have had that experience.
Yes.
They may not have had Choo-Choo Boogie,
yeah.
but they have had Don't Let the Sun Catch You Crying.
And it's a beautiful thing. I wouldn't give it up for nothing in the world. We really need people's support.
Yeah, I know. And that's what we're talking about. That's what I'm talking about in the show, that this is the 10th anniversary, that the gala is coming up, the fundraiser on the 29th. Now, do you know what's going to be performed there? Are you guys working on that?
We're supposed to be performing different stuff from all the shows over the years.
Yes.
Within a 30-minute period.
Oh, my gosh.
Yes, so it's going to be a quick hit thing. And it's going to be exciting because it's actually going to... I don't know if I'm going to make it through the whole performance. I might even be in tears because it's...
I think we'll all be in tears.
It's like... You seen something come up, you know?
Yeah. You know, don't tell me any more about it. Because I think we'll just leave it as a cliffhanger.
Yes.
Do you understand?
Yes,
I
understand.
Know, come and find out what it is.
Yes. But I believe people should get behind and support. And that we, Mr. Jacobs, he deserves his own building. I mean, the struggles he's gone through to bring a positive thing to the community. It's unnecessary. It's an unnecessary struggle.
No.
It's not like he's doing something bad and
or selfish.
On the ground, behind the corner, or selfish. This man could have gone to New York and not even started a company to help anybody.
Yeah.
But he did it. And it's out of the kindness of his heart. some wonderful men. I mean, he's, like other directors and things like that, that I work with, he's more passionate. He doesn't cuss you. I mean, so some directors get frustrated, they cuss, they do all that. He doesn't do that. He's a very passionate man, and he understands your feelings as well. Like I said, it's a more one-on-one thing with him. It's like a family. Once you've come, I promise you, you won't want to leave. You won't want to be out of the family. Mm-hmm. This is a big family. So it's worth supporting.
I couldn't have said it better myself. And that, I think this is a good place for us to stop. Thank you so much. This has been wonderful. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
If you want to see some really talented performers perform some really delightful pieces from 10 years worth of shows, call 941-366-1505 and save yourself a seat for the October 29th gala celebration of the 10th anniversary of the West Coast Black Theater Troupe. You will see Leon and Zadek and Nate and many, many others. You will be amused, delighted, impressed, entertained, and you'll have great food. So, and you can come over and say hello to me. So please call. I'd love to see you there. Also, as always, I'm thanking Josh Hackney, my intrepid IT guy. And as I say every week, there would be no show without Josh. It is not only that he makes the sound as good as it can possibly be, but he teaches me what I need to know. He reminds me what I have forgotten. He discovers, he fixes, he finds, he's kind. So if you need anybody who's any of those things, you want to go up on the Lynn Show, THELINNESHOW, click on, email me, say, I want Josh. Or I want more information about the West Coast Theater Troupe or anything you want to know about me, and I will respond. So now, as always, I hope you get something that you can use from this show. Something that interested you or compelled you or amused you. Something that brings you back, because I will be here next week, same time, same station. And as always, I hope that you will be too.
See, I'm getting older. My hair is turning gray. Oh, you say my face and figure have both seen better days. Well, I won't be retiring. I won't slip out of sight. No, I will not go gentle into that good night. Singing, not a tune that I once sang. I just keep returning like some goddamn boomerang. No, I won't go with a whimper. I am going with a bang. See that I have had my shot. My time has come and gone. Oh, won't I please get off the stage? Let someone else get on. Well, I won't be relegated or leave without a fight. No, I will not go gentle into that good night. I won't go with a whimper. On ringing, not a chime.